Laws of mass or matan in business in chapter Kuf Nun Vav 156. It's actually mostly talking about midos and how one should treat another person and how one should, also in business, but mainly about how to rebuke somebody. Today we're learning about when you have to rebuke somebody, you shouldn't do it publicly. If you have to tell somebody off, do it in private so you don't shame him. You don't shame him. So it says, "Kol hamechiyeches chaveiro," anyone who rebukes his friend, whether it's items between the two of them, you know, like maybe he has done something wrong to him. So we learned before, you're not allowed to carry a grudge in your heart. If somebody does something to you, you should go and tell them and talk it over with them. So if you're going to rebuke him and tell him why he did something to you or did something wrong, or you're trying to tell him that he's done something wrong for God, like he's not done the mitzvahs properly or whatever, he has made a mistake. So tzarich lo'ichicha b'nei l'bein atzma. You have to rebuke him only amongst yourself, between you and him. Only between the two of you. You should speak to him gently, and with a soft language. The idea, and you should let him know, you're only saying it for his benefit. You're not trying to get at him or insult him, degrade him or anything, but you're just trying for his benefit. If you speak tough, and you shame the other person, then you're violating a prohibition of the Torah. Now you may think you're doing a mitzvah because you're trying to rebuke him about a sin, but if you do it in the wrong way, that you shame the other person, you're actually violating a prohibition, because shenemar v'leisisa olav chet. The Torah says after saying that you should rebuke your friend, the verse continues over there in the Kedoshim, in the Devarim, that's chapter 19, verse 17. The Torah says, "Leisisa olav chet," you shall not carry a sin for him. What does this mean? Kach amru chachamim. So our sages interpreted this in the Torah's Kahanim. Said like this, "Yochelatu mechicha ponav mishtanis." One may think the Torah tells you to rebuke the other person, so maybe you'll rebuke him and his face will change. Face will change, meaning the color of his face. Red. Yeah, he'll get shamed. So, Talmud Leimar, that's what the Pasuk says, Leisisa olav chet. Do not carry a sin on him, because if you're going to rebuke him and you're going to shame him, you're actually going to be the one that is sinning. Now, the Rebbe brings down here a footnote that, according to Rashi, this is talking about if you're deliberately shaming him to try to embarrass him. But he says the other commentaries go by just speaking to a person in a way that will cause him shame, that already you get a violation of the prohibition against carrying a sin in another person. So from here we see that you're not allowed to shame another. A person is not allowed to shame his friend, even amongst themselves. It goes without saying, publicly shaming something, that's of course prohibited. And therefore, don't call a person with a name that he's ashamed of. You know, don't call him a name. Sometimes people call him shorty, they call him fatso or whatever, you know. So they shame the person by calling him a name. That's prohibited. You're not allowed to call him a name that he's ashamed. And also don't tell in front of him something, you know, which he's embarrassed by. Like, you know, you remember, you know, you got drunk the other day. And you remember what you did when you got drunk. So I want to talk about it. But you're saying a story in front of the person, and the person is ashamed of what happened over there. The chol hamalbin pnei chaveiro barabim. Anyone who shames the friend, the face of his friend, meaning changes color, you shame him. Ein lo chelik le'olam haba, has no portion in the world to come. So, this applies to matters that are between one and the other. But if we're talking about heavenly matters, if the person doesn't retract, he doesn't change, he must rebuke him publicly until he goes back to good. Now, I'm not sure, before we learned that only if he's your friend that you have the obligation to rebuke him, not just anybody else, only if your friend, only if it's somebody that you can, is going to accept from you, is not going to hate you for it, otherwise you don't have to do it. But here we're talking about apparently somebody who's going to, I mean, not everybody can become God's agent to go ahead and rebuking everybody and becoming, telling everybody off what they need to do. Because he brings an example here, though. He says, I'm not sure, he doesn't say that, but I'm just thinking, because it says, Kimoy also call on Vim be Israel. Like all the prophets of Israel did, they rebuked the Jewish people, they did it publicly. Now, but that's a difference, you know, I mean, a prophet, you know, God tells him what to do. But who's telling this guy, I mean, if he wants to go out and rebuking people, who tells him, you know? But again, we're talking about, you know, based on the criteria that we said before. But we're talking about a sin that he done in the quiet, so you try quietly, unless you need to, he doesn't retract, then you do it publicly. But if a person openly does something wrong, then you need to rebuke immediately. We don't want the name of heaven should be desecrated, because if you're going to see that the person is doing a sin and nobody says anything about it, then that would be a desecration of God's name. How come nobody is saying anything? So therefore, one is obligated to immediately stop them. So if somebody would get up publicly, do something wrong in the public, you have to tell them, you have to rebuke them. Now, what happens with Talmud Shador, Rabbi Ivra Vedum? Let's say a student who sees his teacher transgressing a violation. Let's say he sees him doing a mistake. Yoimar lo, you should say to him in a respectful way. You shouldn't go out and say, oh, don't do that, you're not allowed to do that. You should say, Limadetani Rabbeini Rabbeinu Kach V'Kach. Oh, our teacher, you taught me so and so. So you're reminding him, Laskido Ule Shegigu, to remind him, maybe he's making a mistake. He doesn't realize. But if he's not going to listen to him, don't rebuke him any further. As opposed to your friend, your teacher, you're not okay. You just maybe remind him in a respectful way. But your friend, somebody who's at your level, then you need to do it again and again. I said even 100 times until you can. As we learned earlier in Sif Zayin, specifically now, subsection 9, Sif Tes. A person needs to be very careful talking about orphans and widows. I feel like Mashidim Gedolim, even if they may be wealthy, you gotta be very careful. One who gets them angry, or yichisom, also anger, or hurts them, or angers them, or hichiv lahem, or cause them pain, or yirodah bahem, or you dominated them, or yibim memoinam, or you lost their money, specifically of an orphan and a widow, hadezoiver b'lai sasa, then the person doing so violated the prohibition. Shenemar, call almona v'yosim leisanu. Any widow and orphan, do not afflict. Do not afflict. That would include any of these afflictions. V'kol shkina maka isum. How much more so one who beats them, or yamakalon, or one who curses them. But medvarim amudi bizman shina isum tzerechatzme. That only applies if you're afflicting them for your own needs, for your own purposes. Well, let's say a teacher has a child in his classroom who is an orphan, right? And he needs to prompt him to start learning, so you need to cause him some discomfort by forcing him to learn or something like that. But if their master afflicts them, in order he's trying to teach them Torah or trying to teach them a craft, or making sure they go in the right path, then it's permissible. Still, don't treat them like any other person. You have to still treat them specially. Yaslam hefresh, but you must make a distinction how you treat the orphan and the widow. And you should conduct yourself them gently and with great pity. Whether he's orphaned from just a father or just from a mother, he still qualifies as an orphan. But how long is one called an orphan as far as these halachas goes for this matter? Until the time they grow up that they don't need any other person, that they need to lean on him or to train them or to take care of them. As long as he can do all his own needs, like all other adults, so then he's already an adult, then he's not considered an orphan anymore. And then I wonder how long the woman is considered a widow until she gets married. Until she gets married.
You're always an orphan.
What?
You're always an orphan.
Yeah.
Until you get married.
And what happens if the husband dies and they're still called a widow, you know?
When your parents die, you become an orphan.
That's true.